I'm Kurt Anderson. Ahead this hour in Studio 360, the clarinetist Don Byron, as well as a story of an unlikely friendship between a folk singer and a Marine.
So.
But right now, this.
How'd you do last night?
What'd I give you, $4.50?
Try maybe $5.50 or $6.
No. I give you all I got.
Good.
Recognize that voice?
I take the bread. The whole loaf, you understand?
Yes.
If you want money, you come to me.
That is Morgan Freeman as a tough-talking pimp with an afro in the movie Street Smart. It was his breakout role back in 1985.
Whose girl are you, huh?
Yours, baby.
Right. Now get out of here.
It's hard now to imagine Freeman playing that part. He is Hollywood's designated font of warmth, steadiness, wisdom.
So in some ways, this is a story of survival, a tale of life over death. But it's more than that, really. This is a story about love.
And audiences adore him for it. But Freeman still has a few surprises up his sleeve. In the new indie film, 10 Items or Less, he plays a much less fortunate version of Morgan Freeman, a Hollywood star who's faded and considers a role in a little indie movie. Morgan Freeman, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt.
So, 10 Items or Less, like the film within the film, isn't a big splashy movie.
No, I don't play God or anything.
or Mandela or anything else. What attracted you to it?
Well, it's just a charming little story. And, you know, you're constantly reading scripts and they're all kinds. And this was another one of those little well-written character studies that just grabs your attention.
Was it hard sort of acting a role that is so close to the real thing?
No. As a matter of fact, it's dirt easy because there is no character to try and create. Just say the lines.
So you're back. You're f***ing back in business. How's it feel?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call this back. I mean, not back, you know. Not like comeback. It's just a little independent thing. Nicely under the radar, you know. I mean, if it flies, fine. And if it doesn't, it won't even count.
In a lot of your roles, not so much 10 Items or Less, but in many of your roles, you're called upon to be the voice of great reason and wisdom, and like Driving Miss Daisy and Shawshank Redemption and even Deep Impact. That's a snore you hear, ladies and gentlemen. Does that kind of typecasting actually affect you and how you think about yourself? Do family members and friends say, give us some sage advice?
No.
Not at all?
No. Now, my family and friends are very aware of me as actor. I have to tell people outside of that, you know, please don't confuse the actor with the character.
I understand this film, which you're also the producer of, is being distributed after its theatrical release, shortly after, online.
Two weeks after theatrical release.
On something called ClickStar.
Yeah. You'll be able to download it via broadband through ClickStar. Just go to cstar.com and you'll have access to it.
Why are you doing that?
Well, the technology is here. I live in a very rural area in Mississippi. And we don't get first-run movies. We don't get second or third-run movies, as a matter of fact. You know, it's trickle-down effect is a long time for us. And this is a way I think this is going to fill that gap. I remember when Million Dollar Baby was out, it was all this talk about how great it was, blah, blah. And my friends were saying, well, do we get to see it? And, of course, I have to say, well, when it comes out on DVD, yeah, you'll get to see it. But that window is way down the line. This one, we're closing that gap.
You live in Mississippi. You grew up in northern Mississippi in the 1940s and 50s. How did acting even get on your radar as a potential profession?
When I was 8 years old, I was in the third grade. I was chosen to play Little Boy Blue in a school pageant. And then when I was 12 years old, I was chosen to be in a one-act play. And it was just like that thunderbolt of realization that somebody had just put my instrument in my hand. You know?
But it took you didn't start acting professionally until your mid or late 20s.
Well, I started as early as I could. When I graduated, by the time I graduated from high school, acting, being in the movies, just seemed like a long way off, you know. And I had to come up with the idea that I wanted to be a crackerjack jet pilot. I wanted to fly fighter planes, you know. And so I went into the Air Force to do that. And it was not so much the reality as the romance of movies that had motivated me.
You wanted to play a jet pilot.
Exactly. So I walked away from that. And 3 years, 8 months, and 10 days in the military, first realization was, this is not for you, really, because, you know, I question authority. And the other one was that I'm not a killer. So then I happened to be in California. So when I got out, there I was. It was a short bus ride to Hollywood.
That's convenient for you. But your success didn't happen anything like overnight. Your first big movie parts didn't come for years until you were living in New York. How did you finally really get noticed in a big way?
Timing. We were doing Driving Miss Daisy off Broadway when Street Smart came out. And the two kind of met at the same time. So it that was very providential and very good for me because the two characters couldn't be further apart.
Hulk.
Yes.
Do you still have that Hudson?
You talking about from when I first come here? Oh, no, Miss Daisy. No, that thing been in the junkyard now more than 15 years. No, I'm driving your next to last car now. 1965 Cadillac. Running fine as wine, too.
You ought not to be driving anything the way you see.
Oh, nah. How you know how I can see less than you can look out my eyes. Hmm?
Hulk?
Yes.
You're my best friend.
No, I'm gone now, Miss Daisy.
No, you really. You are.
And it's so common that the person who performs a role on stage doesn't get the part in the movie.
I was certain that I wouldn't get it because they, you know, that whole bunch, Dick Zanuck and Bruce Beresford, the director, and David Brown, they all came to see production of it, and they came backstage to congratulate the performances. And I said, well, yeah, but do I get the role? You know, and Bruce said, well, you kind of young. So I said, well, yeah, but you just said that, you know. He said, well, it's a difference in box, you know. You can hide in this box. You can't hide on screen.
And how'd you convince him that you could play an old man?
They couldn't find anybody better.
Oh. That's good. The fact that you were not old but not young when that happened and then you ascended to this other rank of stardom, do you think the fact that it came, again, relatively late, you were better prepared to deal with all that implied?
Absolutely. You have to accept that life goes as it should and it unfolds for you to your good, not your detriment. Had this happened when I was a much younger man, I may not have survived, as so many of us didn't.
When you were a much younger man, you did a lot of work on the stage. Do you think you'll ever go back to doing theater?
My whole life has been about the movies. Whatever else I did, I wanted to be in the movies. So guess what? I'm in the movies. This is where I want to stay.
Is there a role in the movies that you, a kind of role that you're dying to play that just hasn't been written for you or offered to you?
Yeah. We're pretty much underrepresented in history because we didn't write any of it. When we did Glory, a lot of people expressed their joy, their chagrin even, at not knowing that history because I'm so underrepresented as a black American. Well, the same thing is true of World War to. There's a big push afoot now between me and Will Smith, I think probably Denzel, just about any actor I know. We know about a tank battalion who fought with the Third Army from about November 1944 straight through to April or May of 1945. They fought for 183 days without any let up. Patton Spearhead, you know, going through France. And they were used. And you said, oh, you want to fight, huh? Okay, here, you're it.
I'd go see the three of you in that movie.
I'm going to keep at it. Yeah, you know? It's my job.
Morgan Freeman, thank you very much for coming into Studio 360.
Nice to talk to you, Kurt.
Morgan Freeman's new movie, 10 Items or Less, opened in theaters this month. And if you want to find out how to download the entire film legally, visit Studio360.org. Coming up next, did you ever wonder what your brain sounds like?
This is the sound of my brain.
We'll strap on electrodes and try to listen to the music that our brains make. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International.